Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today we will be talking about HollyFrontier Corporation. HollyFrontier is one of the largest independent petroleum refiners in the United States. It operates in three segments. The first segment is its refining segment, which includes turning crude oil into refined products such as gasoline, jet fuel, diesel, etc. The second operating segment is its lubricants and specialty products, which includes production and marketing of asphalt and specialty lubricant products such as motor oil, metal processing fluids, etc. And the last operating segment is the Holly Energy Partners, HEP. HollyFrontier has a 57% limited partner interest and a general partner interest in HEP. HEP owns and operates midstream assets such as petroleum and crude oil pipelines, storage tanks, distribution terminals, etc. Now that we have a better understanding of the operating segments, let's look at the customer base that HollyFrontier has. HollyFrontier's customer base includes other refiners, convenience store chains, independent marketers, retailers, truck stop chains, wholesalers, railroads, government entities, paving contractors, and commercial airlines. HollyFrontier has 5 refineries located in Wyoming, New Mexico, Kansas, Utah, and Oklahoma, with a total processing capacity of 457,000 barrels of crude oil per day. Now that we have a better understanding of HollyFrontier's business model, let's look at the fundamentals. Today, we will be analyzing HollyFrontier's key ratios, performing a DCF, discounted free cash flow analysis to find out the intrinsic value of the company, and finally do an expected rate of return calculation to see if we were to invest in HollyFrontier at the current stock price, what kind of return can we expect on that investment? So let's dive in and look at HollyFrontier Corporation. Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the key ratios. I'm on Morningstar for HollyFrontier Corporation. Looking at the key ratios under financials, the first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the company. It is measured in millions of dollars. We can see that back in 2010, the revenue was about $8.3 billion, and it has grown all the way to $17.5 billion as of 2019. We can see the cyclicality in the business, as there were some years when the revenue was about $20 billion, and some in 2016, for example, when the revenue dropped to $10 billion. So from 2013 to 2016, the revenue was cut in half. And then we can see that for the past few years, the revenue has been increasing. For the trailing 12 months, the revenue is about $12.6 billion. We can see the drop from 2019, primarily because of the government shutdowns and the decreased traveling, which has reduced the demand for crude oil and refining. Next is the operating income. The operating income gives us an idea of how much money the company is generating from its core business segments. We can see that back in 2010, HollyFrontier's operating income was about $263 million, and that number has grown to about $1.43 billion as of 2019. After that, looking at the net income is the bottom line of the company. This number gives us an idea of how much money is left with the company once it has paid for all the costs, the expenses, interest, and taxes. We can see that back in 2010, the net income was about $104 million, and that number has grown to about $772 million as of 2019. We can see the cyclicality in the business, as there were some years when the net income was very good and some when it was negative. So this goes to show the oil and gas industry and the refinery business is not stable or predictable to begin with. Next, looking at the dividends, we can see that back in 2010, HollyFrontier paid out about 30-cent dividend per share. And that number has grown to about $1.34 per share as dividend for 2019. We can see that over the past 10 years, HollyFrontier has been hiking its dividends, which is something that shareholders want to see. Shareholders want to see a company that is paying out dividends every year, and it's better if it's even hiking the dividends. Next, looking at the payout ratio. The payout ratio is the comparison of the company's dividends to its net income. So this number gives us an idea whether or not the dividends that are being paid out to the shareholders can be sustainable into the future. The payout ratio in 2019 was about 26.3%. This means that 26.3% of the company's income is being paid out to its shareholders. Such a payout ratio is certainly sustainable into the future. Next, looking at the shares outstanding, we can see that back in 2010, HollyFrontier had about 107 million shares outstanding. That number grew to about 205 million shares outstanding in 2012. And after that, it looks like the company has been buying back its shares as the share count has been dropping off. HollyFrontier has about 162 million shares outstanding for the trailing 12 months. So looking at a 10-year period, we can see that the shares outstanding have increased from 107 million shares to 162 million shares.
However, since 2012, the company appears to have been buying back its shares. When a company buys back its shares, it helps out the existing shareholders since such a process is increasing the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. After that, looking at the book value per share, the book value per share gives us an idea of what we're going to be left with when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. We can see that HollyFrontier's book value per share back in 2010 was about $6.55 per share, and that number has grown to about $37.2 per share in 2019. The book value per share should always be taken with a grain of salt because we do not know if the company's assets on its balance sheet are truly worth what the company says they are worth. Finally, looking at the free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital spending from operating cash flow. We can see that back in 2010, HollyFrontier had about $70 million as its free cash flow, and that number has grown to about $1,255 million as of 2019. I will be using the past 10 years of free cash flows for my expected rate of return calculation, and I will be using the 2019 figure of $1,255 million for my DCF, discounted free cash flow analysis. Now let's look at the profitability of the company. First item on the list that we'll look at is the net margin. The net margin compares the company's bottom line to its top line, so it is the ratio of net income to the revenue. We can see that back in 2010, the net margin was about 1.25, and for 2019, it was about 4.41. What this means is every $100 that HollyFrontier makes from sales, by the time it pays for all the costs, expenses, interest, taxes, it has about $4.41 left as pure profit. Next is the return on equity. Warren Buffett wants to see the return on equity to be greater than 8% every year for the past 10 years. We can see that back in 2010, the return on equity was about 15.8%. And throughout the years, it has been greater than 8% for most of the years. In 2019, the return on equity was about 12.97%. After that, looking at the return on invested capital, the return on invested capital gives us an idea of how good the management is at investing the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. We can see that the return on invested capital follows a similar trend as return on equity. In 2010, the return on invested capital was about 11%, and for 2019, it was about 10%. And finally, looking at the interest coverage, the interest coverage is the comparison of the company's interest obligations to its income. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in companies that had interest coverage of 5 times or greater. We can see that back in 2010, the interest coverage was about 4 times. However, in 2019, the interest coverage was about 9.17 times. Now let's look at the financial health of the company. The first item that we'll look at is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. We want this number to be greater than 1. It's even better if it's greater than 1.5. A number greater than 1 tells us that the company has enough oxygen in its system to survive for another 12 months. Back in 2010, the current ratio was about 1.23. And every year for the past decade, we can see that the current ratio has been greater than 1. For the latest quarter, the current ratio is about 2.68. Next is the financial leverage. We can see that back in 2010, the financial leverage was about 5.31, which is quite high compared to what the financial leverage has been for the past decade. In 2019, the financial leverage was about 2.03. For the latest quarter, it's about 2.17. This financial leverage is comparable to its competitors. And finally, looking at the debt to equity ratio, this number compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Back in 2010, the debt to equity ratio was about 1.16. In 2019, it was about 0.47, and for the latest quarter, it was about 0.65. Ideally, we want to see the debt-to-equity ratio to be less than 1. It's even better if it's less than 0.5. However, it's good to note that the debt-to-equity ratio for HollyFrontier is less than 1 for the latest quarter. It's also important to note that the financial leverage as well as the debt-to-equity ratio has gone up in the latest quarter when compared to 2019. This goes to show that HollyFrontier is trying to take on more debt in order to sustain itself through this pandemic when its sales have dropped off. Next, looking at the efficiency ratios, the first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives us an idea of how many days go by from the day that HollyFrontier recognizes its revenue to the day it actually receives cash for the service that was rendered. Back in 2010, the day sales outstanding were about 38.5 days, and in 2019, it was about 16.19 days. For the trailing 12 months, it's about 20 days. After that, looking at the day's inventory, the day's inventory number gives us an idea of how many days does HollyFrontiers' product sit in the inventory before it is sold. We can see that back in 2010, the day's inventory was about 16 days, and that number has gone up to about 37 days in 2019. For the trailing 12 months, it's about 48 days. So this increase in day's inventory goes to show that HollyFrontier is taking longer and longer to get rid of its inventory. The product that it makes is actually sitting in its inventory, and ideally we certainly want to see a decline or steady number as far as day's inventory goes. However, we are seeing an increasing number for the day's inventory. Next is the payables period. This number gives us an idea of how many days does HollyFrontier take to pay its suppliers. We can see that back in 2010, HollyFrontier took about 53 days to pay its suppliers, and that number has dropped down to about 27 days in 2019. For the trailing 12 months, it's about 35 days. So looking at the 10-year period, we can see that HollyFrontier has been paying its suppliers quicker now than it did back in 2010. And finally, looking at the inventory turnover, this number gives us an idea of how many times does HollyFrontier's inventory go through its system in a calendar year. We can see that back in 2010, HollyFrontiers' inventory went through its system about 22 times, and that number has dropped down to about 9.76 times in 2019. For the trailing 12 months, it was about 7.58 times. So we can clearly see that the inventory turnover goes hand in hand with the day's inventory. As the day's inventory has gone up, the inventory turnover has gone down. Ideally, we want the inventory turnover to be as high as possible, because we want the company to go through its inventory and sell its products as many times as possible in a calendar year. Now let's look at the valuation of the company. Over here, we will be comparing HollyFrontiers' current valuations to that of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price to earnings ratio. We can see that HollyFrontier doesn't have a meaningful PE ratio because its earnings for the latest quarter have been negative. However, for the 5-year average, HollyFrontiers' PE ratio was about 15.1 as compared to the S&P 500, which is at 27.2. Next is the price to book ratio. HollyFrontier is at 0.9 and the S&P 500 is at 3.8. After that, the price to sales. HollyFrontier is at 0.4, whereas S&P 500 is at 2.7. Next is the price to cash flow. HollyFrontier is at 8.8. versus S&P 500, which is at 15.8. And lastly, the dividend yield. HollyFrontier is at 4.9% and the S&P 500 is at 1.7%. So on all these valuation metrics, other than maybe the price to earnings ratio, we can see that HollyFrontier is undervalued when compared to the S&P 500. Hey guys, now let's look at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis for HollyFrontier. Over here, I based the 2019 free cash flow number, which is $1,255 million. I'm using the annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 3%. This means that I'm assuming that HollyFrontiers' free cash flow will grow at 3% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 15%. This means that I want this investment to give me a 15% return on my investment. I can use a discount rate of 10%, which would simply give me a higher intrinsic value. But given the cyclicality and unpredictability of this business, I want the discount rate to be higher. That way I have a little bit of margin of safety built into this number. So a higher discount rate would give me a more conservative intrinsic value. I'm using the long-term growth rate to be 2%. This means that I'm assuming that HollyFrontier would grow at 2% every year from the 10-year mark into perpetuity. And lastly, the shares outstanding is 162 million shares, and the long-term debt is $2,456,000,000. I got this number from HollyFrontiers' balance sheet. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the intrinsic value to be $47.33 per share. When we compare this to the current stock price of $29, we can see that the current stock is trading at a discount of about 60% of its intrinsic value. The way this intrinsic value is calculated is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be from the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We add up all those free cash flows and get the intrinsic value to be about $10,123 million. We subtract the long-term debt from this number and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value to be $47 per share. Now, if we take the perpetuity part out of this equation, so if we assume that the stock, the company, is only going to last for the next 10 years, we can see that the intrinsic value comes out to about $29.24 per share, which is where the stock price is currently trading at. Hey guys, now let's look at the expected rate of return calculation for Holly Frontier. Over here, I pasted the past 10 years of free cash flows that I got from Morningstar. This is the yearly free cash flow trend that we get. We can see that some years Holly Frontier has had amazing free cash flows, and some years not so much. Looking at the future data and predictions, I'm assuming that there's a 15% likelihood that Holly Frontier's free cash flow will grow at 5%. There's a 50% likelihood that its free cash flow will decline at 8%. And there's a 35% likelihood that its free cash flow will decline at negative 30%. I'm using aggressive declining numbers because this is a cyclical business and it's really uncertain as far as what the future of this company holds. This is the potential free cash flow raise that we get into the future. And after taking into account the numbers of shares outstanding, which is 162 million shares, at the current stock price of about $29 per share, we can expect to get a return of about 11% on this investment. In other words, if you were to purchase a share of Holly Frontier at the current stock price of about $29 per share, we can expect to get a return of about 11% on this investment. Hey guys, now let's wrap it all up. We saw that the revenue, operating income, as well as net income for the past 10 years have been fluctuating, which goes to show the cyclicality in the business. We saw that the dividends have been steady and increasing for the past 10 years, and the payout ratios tell us that such dividend payouts are sustainable in the long run. We saw that for the past 10 years, the return on equity has been greater than 8% for most years. And similarly, the interest coverage has been greater than 5 times for most of the past 10 years. The current ratio, debt to equity ratio, and the financial leverage show that Holly Frontier is financially sound and stable. Its debt is not getting out of control, and these ratios are comparable to its competitors. From a valuation standpoint, we saw that other than possibly the PE ratio, all the other valuation metrics show that Holly Frontier is undervalued when compared to the S&P 500. After that, when we looked at the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis, we saw that the intrinsic value came out to about $47 per share. When we compare it to the current stock price of about $29 per share, we can see that the current stock price is about 60% of the intrinsic value. Now, if we disregarded the perpetuity component, in other words, if we assume that Holly Frontier will only grow at 3% for the next 10 years, then we get the intrinsic value to be about $29 per share, which is what the current stock price is trading at. When we looked at the expected rate of return calculation, we saw that if we were to invest in Holly Frontier at the current stock price of about $29 per share, we can expect to get a return of about 11% on this investment. After reviewing this company, we can see that Holly Frontier is fundamentally sound and undervalued. However, there are lots of risks associated with investing in Holly Frontier. The biggest risk being the fact that oil and gas sector is in a slump right now, and Holly Frontier is not out of the woods. It may take this company some time before it reaches the same sales volumes and profitability that it had back in 2019. Hey guys, that is all I have for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Holly Frontier interesting. Please do like, share, comment, and subscribe to my channel. And if you have any suggestions as to which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I will greatly appreciate it. Thank you.